Hello, welcome to the Thursday, September 24th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Today we got two iOS updates, actually. The first one from Cisco, and that's the regular semi-annual Cisco iOS and iOS XE update. Fixes a number of vulnerabilities, four total. One of the more interesting ones is an SSH version 2 RSA-based user authentication bypass vulnerability, which probably means that there is again another static SSH key that was delivered with the device and can be used in order to gain access to the device. The remaining three vulnerabilities are denial of service vulnerabilities. So probably the very first one, that's CVE-2015-6280, is the one that may prompt you to prioritize patching this vulnerability. And the second iOS update comes from Apple. Now, Apple just about a week ago released iOS 9. Today, Apple released iOS 9.01. They called it a bug fix release for iOS 9. At this point, the security content is not live, so not sure exactly what kind of security vulnerabilities are being patched in this release, if any. However, there is at least a partial lock screen bypass that was published earlier today for iOS 9. You have to enter the bad PIN four times, then on the fifth try, only enter three digits and then hold the home button and you will have access to the phone's contact list and photos. So you don't have full access, but at least partial access to the phone. And FireEye blogged that they found more than 4,000 applications in Apple's App Store to be infected with the Xcode Ghost backdoor. Now, Apple also announced that they will notify customers who downloaded any of the applications. So far, this announcement has only been promised on Apple's Chinese website because, well, China, of course, was one of the main targets of these infected applications. But hopefully, this will apply to iOS users worldwide. And Google's Project Zero lately is publishing exploits against various antivirus tools. Today it was Kaspersky's turn. A couple interesting vulnerabilities here. Of course, antivirus tools have to do a lot of complex file parsing, which is notorious for introducing vulnerabilities into code. One of the more interesting issues is that any zip file being attached to another file is actually being scanned. So one of the exploits developed here by Google just zips the exploit up, then appends it to a normal DLL, which has the effect that the DLL is actually still usable. But if it is being scanned by Kaspersky's antivirus tool, Kaspersky will then parse the zip file that was appended and the exploit may be triggered. Tavis Ormandy, who wrote the blog post, notes that they sent dozens of reports to Kaspersky, but Kaspersky has made some progress in resolving some of these issues. Now, many of these vulnerabilities being reported to Kaspersky could, of course, lead to a complete compromise of the user running antivirus, which often is the system user, because you want this user to be able to scan the entire disk, not just a particular user's files. And OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, now updated its breach report and is stating that 5.6 million fingerprints were part of the data stolen from its systems earlier this year and last year. Initially, it wasn't clear if any fingerprints were stolen, and then the number was around 1 million. So this is now five times more than the last number published. What I haven't really seen clearly explained is if these are actual fingerprint images or just the indicators that are usually used to recognize fingerprints. The indicators usually make it much harder to create a lookalike fingerprint. But if high resolution images would have been saved in that database and stolen, then of course it would certainly be possible to reconstruct a usable fingerprint. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and thanks to ThreatStop for supporting this podcast. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.